It's not an option. It's a right. Cocked, locked, and ready to rock the world of the anti-gunners. You are listening to the guy who had to register his mouth as a full auto weapon. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio. The fight for your rights isn't for pansies. So buckle up for the ride and knuckle down with Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
Yes. Hello, America. I am your host, Bill Carnes. You're tuned in right here to the Second Amendment Radio Show. We snipped that down to call it 2A Radio. Well, today, we are going to spend the day talking about and uncovering the mess, looking at the official smokescreen, the diversions, the smoke and mirrors, and the lies, now dealing with the ATF and Department of Justice trying to cover up ATF's running of guns, their whole gun running scandal down into Mexico. Well, of course, it wasn't long ago that this story was broken, talking about U.S. guns to Mexico by rogue agents, as they originally were referred to, from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, or just simply the ATF, an agency of the Department of Justice. It's also now reporting that, of course, the official spin has begun, attempting to portray the scandal as nothing more than a lack of adequate personnel to monitor the flow of guns to Mexico drug cartels. In short, the scandal's no scandal at all, but an example of the need for more ATF field agents to keep tabs on the scale and purchase of U.S. firearms headed south. Well, as reported recently, ATF agents were summoned to Washington, D.C. for a high-level strategy meeting aimed at damage control. Apparently, the agency also got its story straight, getting everyone on the same page to tell the same version of what they refer to as the facts, aided and abetted by certain outlets in the mainstream media that apparently are too willing to provide the same cover for the corruption, helping ATF and DOJ out. Well, according to Mike Vandenberg of Sipsy Street Irregulars, the LA Times reported that the U.S. Guns to Mexico debacle was due to the ATF being short-staffed. Well, here's the following two paragraphs from the Times article that depict the spin. U.S. authorities in Mexico, charged with stemming the flow of U.S. weapons to drug cartels, have been hampered by shortfalls in staffing, agents with limited Spanish skills, and the difficulty of recruiting new agents to the dangerous posting because they can't officially carry weapons, current and former staff members say. Facing new accusations that investigators with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives allowed buyers to funnel high-powered assault weapons into Mexico, a senior agent protested to Mexico before, a senior agent posted to Mexico before 2010 said the agency had not fielded the resources necessary to block mass movements of weapons across the southwest border. Well, that audacious referral to accept responsibility and blame shifting for the fact that rogue agents bribed gun shop owners in their own manipulative way to allow them to make illegal straw purchases of firearms, which are then walked across the border into Mexico, where they wound up in the hands of the drug cartels, is only highlighted by the fact that ATF agents who protested the illegal scheme were punished by being transferred out of the area and or being forced to take early retirement. So it's not the individual agents. It is from the top up that was pushing everything down. The fact alone suggests that the scheme was not the brainchild of rogue agents, but of the highest levels of management at the ATF and DOJ. And the start date of the operation coincides with the ascendancy of to power of Barack Obama, Rahm Emanuel, Eric Holder, who needs a game changer to justify massive new gun control measures to prevent the flow of illegal U.S. guns into Mexico. To further dramatize the seriousness of this entire scandal, Vandenberg relays that the following portion of a conversation with a government insider who's familiar with the inner workings of the government intelligence. Listen to this. Do you think, he asks, that this happened accidentally in a vacuum? Meaning that one day Gunwalker Bill Newell, a Phoenix special agent in charge at ATF, just got a wild hair and decided to invent his own foreign policy. Things like this happen because of meetings. People sit in meetings and they decide what they want to happen. And then they take decisions, make policies, and implement that policy to achieve to those ends, according to this insider with information. That is why the State Department is so nervous. They signed off on this in a meeting. Gunrunner, we pointed out to him, obviously, has been pointed out to this guy, predicated the Obama administration. He says, yes, but walking guns didn't. He was then informed, it seems as though that given the dates on the documents, that the meetings crafting this policy must have taken place sometime in mid-2009, after Obama took over. Because who took over January 2009? He continued by summing it up this way. The gun issue was known to be radioactive. Every time the Democrats embraced it, they got killed at the polls the next election cycle. What was needed, Rahm Emanuel's parlance, was a good crisis to exploit, something to change the paradigm. So they created the crisis. The gun confiscationists had always danced in the blood of every mass murder and got nowhere, to the chagrin, to their own chagrin and frustration. What was needed really was this entire game changer that's now been created by ATF and DOG. Okay, something that fit the mame of we've gotten to tighten it up, American gun owners, gun stores, and gun shows, because they're feeding the slaughter in Mexico. Well, somebody at DOJ thought that was perfect. I'm imagining it with Holder myself. The ATF controlled the reporting of the statistics. The headlines were lured. And if the rest of us knew that you don't get automatic weapons, hand grenades, and RPGs from gun shows and gun stores, most of the American people were too ignorant of the issue to care about the distinction. But the fact was, as the IG report and other sources concluded, the amount of weapons from those legitimate American gun sources did not meet the allegations. More importantly, the statistics didn't meet the policy needs. So how to fix that? Project Gunrunner. If there weren't enough semi-auto assault rifles in Mexico, the ATF could fix that, and the murders would just follow, justifiably, within the policy and the crackdown, so they could try to get our guns. Stay tuned, guys. More to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
Tell everyone in the room to pipe down. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Welcome back from the break. We are carrying on with the entire ATF Project Gunrunner melee. House Representative Isaiah set a March 30th deadline for the ATF to provide documents, which happens to be today. Of course, it's looming, and even at this late hour, we don't have any reports of those documents having been turned over. So far, according to a committee source, Melson has not responded to Representative Isaiah's letter, which was dated March 16th. Nor has there been a response on Melson's behalf from Assistant Attorney General Ronald Weich, W-E-I-C-H, how do you pronounce that, who sent the now infamous letter to Senator Charles Grassley back on February 4th, quote, respectfully, requesting the Iowa Republican to back off his gun runner inquiry, which had been launched following the slaying of Customs and Border Protection agent Brian Terry. Grassley sent two letters to Melson, who is the acting director of ATF, who just simply did not respond. Wyke replied instead. Asked what happens if Melson does not respond, the source says, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. Meaning they don't have a plan. If it's any sort of a criminal effect to have someone in the executive branch not respond to the legislative branch, they should arrest him. Now, Grassley is the ranking Republican on the Senate Judiciary Committee. He started snooping into the gunrunner controversy in late January. Representative Isaiah, a six-term Republican from California's 49th District, took over the helm of oversight and government reform with the change in power in the House this past January. Representative Isa, I'm sorry, I keep calling him Isaiah. It's Isa, I-S-S-A, Isa. He was direct in his letter to Melson by saying, quote, recent media reports have raised grave questions about your department's handling of operations involving gun trafficking in New Mexico. It's been brought to my attention that you are not cooperating with congressional inquiries about Project Gunrunner and Operation Fast and Furious, he wrote. Isaiah reminded Melson about Senator Grassley's recent experiences and about the senator's frustrations. And just to demonstrate that he knew exactly what he was looking for, Isa provided Melson with a list of specifics. Here are some of them. Number one, documents and communications relating to the genesis of Project Gunrunner and Operation Fast and Furious, and any memorandum or reports involving any changes to either program at or near the time of release of the DOJ OIG report about Project Gunrunner, November 2010. Two, a list of individuals responsible for authorizing the decision to walk guns into Mexico in order to follow them and capture a big fish. Three, following the fatal shooting of Agent Brian Terry, did ATF conduct an investigation of the circumstances of his killing? Did you determine whether the two guns found at the crime scene were permitted to cross into Mexico? Number four, is ATF aware what weapon was responsible for the death of Agent Brian Terry? Number five, all documents, including emails, relating to communications between the ATF and the federal firearms licensee who sold the weapons to Jaime Avila, including any report of investigation or other records relating to the December 17th, 2009 meeting to, quote, discuss his role as an FFL during this investigation. Number six, a copy of the presentation, approximately 200 pages long, that the Group 7 supervisors made to officials at ATF headquarters in the spring of 2010. Number seven, Representative Isa is looking for all documents, including emails relating to communications regarding Operation Fast and Furious between ATF headquarters and Special Agent in Charge William D. Newell, Assistant Special Agent in Charge Jim Needles, and George Gillette, Group Supervisor, David Worth, or any case agent from November 1, 2009 to present. This response to this request should include a memorandum approximately 30 pages long from SAC Newell to ATF headquarters following the arrest of Jaime Avila after the death of Agent Brian Terry. Eight, all documents and communications related to complaints or objections by ATF agents in Phoenix about letting straw buyers with American guns enter Mexico. So he's looking for some very inclusive stuff. Of course, a check with Senator Grassley's office recently revealed that he has had, so far, no luck getting a response from Alan D. Burson, Commissioner of the Customs and Border Protection, to whom Grassley wrote, also on March 16th, asking about a very curious incident involving gun running suspect Jaime Avila last summer. Avila is one of about three dozen people indicted in the gunrunner operation earlier this year. He was arrested in December on the day after the Terry shootout occurred and just hours after the border agent died from his wounds. CBP officials, Senator Grassley wrote, allegedly stopped Jaime Alvila near the border in the spring or summer of 2010. He allegedly had two WSAR-10 rifles in his possession that were later found at the scene of Agent Brian Terry's murder, along with over 30 additional weapons. CBP officials contacted ATF or an assistant U.S. attorney who allegedly instructed CBP to allow Avila to proceed without seizing the weapons. Okay. It's getting industry. Interesting. And now the ATF chief, acting chief, won't appear at Senate hearings in the wake of this whole gunwalking scandal. So far, Congress and the media haven't had much luck getting answers on the ATF's ongoing gunwalking controversy. The DOJ and ATF have missed repeated deadlines to turn over information and documents to Senator Charles Grassley, who's investigating. ATF Acting Director Kenneth Melson was scheduled to appear before a Senate hearing last Thursday, in which he would likely have been asked questions about the scandal. However, it's been confirmed that Melson has now been pulled from the hearing witness list. Well, CBS News contacted the Senate Foreign Relations Committee to ask why Melson is no longer scheduled to appear. Well, they referred CBS to the office of Senator Robert Menendez, Democrat gun hater out of New Jersey, who chairs the subcommittee holding the hearing. A press spokeswoman at the senator's office said it was Melson's decision not to testify, and the subcommittee doesn't have jurisdiction over ATF. Later, a spokesman told CBS in an email, quote, the subcommittee had invited, but not confirmed, Mr. Melson, as well as other officials from ATF to testify at the hearing this week. Last week, actually. In the end, ATF declined to send the representative. Of course, the gunwalking investigation may also have derailed any chance for Andrew Traver, President Obama's nominee, to be the permanent head of the ATF, to have confirmation hearings anytime soon. Obama made Melson a former Justice Department attorney, acting director in April 2009. Sources on the Senate Judiciary Committee believed confirmation hearings for Traver were about to be scheduled before the gunwalking scandal broke. Now, they believe, confirmation hearings for Traver will not happen at all anytime in the near future. Traver, who is a Chicago area special agent in charge of that particular office, completely anti-gun, and will do whatever it takes, as he's already shown in his past, to take the non-gun-owning, irrational populace of the United States and turn them against the gun-owning majority in the United States by falsifying information and providing all sorts of smoke, mirrors, and hoopla. Stay tuned. We're going to continue on with this after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're tuned in live right here to 2A Radio.
You're listening to a guy who packs a gun to shoot the bad guys and packs a mic to shoot his mouth off. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio are back.
Welcome back from the break, everyone. Now, I've told you before, and it's no news at all, you know when a politician or some government official is lying. It's when someone's interviewing them or there's a camera on them and their mouth is moving and sound is coming out. Only when they're talking in public are they lying. That's a tell. You know, some people look for facial features. That's an easy one. If they're talking and it's in public, they're lying. Okay. So, in this whole Project Gunrunner thing, Obama seems to be ready to toss somebody under the bus. They're just looking for a scapegoat at this point. In an interview just last week with reporter Jorge Ramos of Mexico's Univision Network, Obama not only denied prior knowledge of Project Gunrunner, he also indicated that someone will be held accountable for what has turned into a major scandal that's already producing a lot of collateral political damage. Obama told Ramos that, first of all, I did not authorize it. Eric Holder, the Attorney General, did not authorize it. To which Ramos quickly reacted, well, who authorized it? Here's Obama's response. We don't have all the facts, President replied. That's why the Inspector General is in business. Okay. So, passing the buck, avoiding it. Now, realize the government changes the meaning of common words. You could take something that is roughly the size of a baseball, lighter in weight, filled with air, slightly fuzzy, and kind of a yellowish green in color, bounces well, and is normally played back and forth with two people that have rackets over a net in a rather good-sized court. We would refer to something like that as a tennis ball. You could take the exact same definition and apply it to anything. Say something about 20 inches in height that has at about 14 inches in height a hole in it that normally mounts to a vehicle. We would call that a tire. They could apply legally the definition of a tennis ball to that of a tire and get away with it because they write their own definitions at the government level. That's how they lie about these sorts of things. Oh, I did not authorize it. Okay, well, let's... And the Attorney General didn't authorize it either. Authorize might mean write every detail to the provision. Just a bunch of liars. Well, Obama seemed determined to put some space between himself and Holder when it comes to this controversy, insisting that he was never informed about the operation. Obama told Ramos, this is a pretty big government, the United States government. I've got a lot of moving parts. Well, what was it that sign on Harry Truman's desktop that said, oh yes, the buck stops here? No, the buck gets passed around here. Well, the growing scandal has been handed off to the Justice Department's Inspector General by Holder. Sources close to the controversy have suggested that people are trying to put some distance between themselves and Gunrunner and its offshoot, Operation Fast and Furious. In fact, I think what's happening is they are sprinting away from it. An underwritten principle in government is that when people try to avoid a subject, it's because they know it's toxic. And when the Fast and Furious operation run out of the Phoenix, Arizona office of the BATFE, that's now bringing down the heat because of the number of guns that are suspected to have been allowed to enter the black market pipeline while ATF supervisors order their field agents to let these guns walk across into Mexico. There may be a situation here in which a serious mistake was made, and if that's the case, then we'll find out and we'll hold somebody accountable, according to Barack Obama. Again, he says there may be a situation here in which a serious mistake was made. And if that's the case, we'll find out and we'll hold somebody accountable. Doesn't mean that they're going to hold the accountable person accountable, just somebody. My guess is that the special agent in charge of the Phoenix office is going to be made a sweetheart backroom deal to be the fall guy and take the heat on this whole stinking mess. The question is, what is his good name worth? Over this last weekend, U.S. Ambassador to Mexico Carlos Pascal abruptly resigned. That's the U.S. Ambassador to Mexico. He resigned. The public spin on this was that Mexican President Felipe Calderón is furious over the leak of highly critical diplomatic cables that portrayed Mexico's war on drug cartels as something of a train wreck. It is a train wreck. However, there's a simple speculation that the Gunrunner controversy also influenced Pascal's decision, And now comes Obama's closing remarks on the gunrunner subject with the interviewer Ramos on Univision. He says, quote, "There may be a situation here in which a serious mistake was made, and if that's the case, then we'll find out and we'll hold somebody accountable." Again, that's what he says. Well, to gunrunner observers, that sounds suspiciously like someone's going to be thrown under the bus, if not directly to the lions. After all, Republican Senator Charles Grassley is digging into the case like a bird dog on point, and Republican Congressman Daryl Issa appears to be preparing for a full-scale investigation as well. Very interesting stuff. Of course, Obama's saying he doesn't know about Operation Fast and Furious. The operation that allowed thousands of guns, U.S. guns, to be smuggled into Mexico through ATF protection. And he says that neither he nor Eric Holder knew anything about it. He also said, Obama said that Holder has said repeatedly that U.S. policy is to capture weapons traffickers and put them in jail, adding that Holder had named an inspector general to investigate what had happened. U.S. agents allowed the smuggling of guns into Mexico in an effort to trace the weapons to the highest levels of Mexico drug cartels, which is a lie. These guys are already breaking laws. The drug cartels? They don't need to add American guns into their hand to do anything about it. You can't enforce it in Mexico anyhow. Mexican officials didn't know about this project. So the ATF, no matter what they're saying, no matter what the story is, it's all lies. It doesn't add up. Of course, now Mexico has asked for detailed information about the ATF operation, which has been the subject of numerous reports, obviously here in the U.S. and also in Mexico. Of course, ATF lost track of hundreds of these weapons once it got across the border. The operations has created a problem between the two governments, who are trying to move closer in their bilateral relationship, especially in the fight against drug traffickers, other organized crime groups, and arms traffickers. Obama reiterated that he had not been informed of the operation and added that he supposes that his Mexican counterpart, Felipe Calderon, also had no knowledge of it. You're right, because it was never told to anybody in Mexico. It's completely a U.S. illegal international crime operation. Former ATF agents told CBS about a week ago that the operation was approved by a high-level official in the U.S. Justice Department. And Darren Gill, former head agent in Mexico for U.S. ATF, says his direct supervisor in D.C. told him the sting had been approved by officials higher ranking than the ATF director.
If you live in a state which allows Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories, and you either have an interest in or already own Class 3 NFA items, the process for an individual to own these items includes photographs, fingerprints, obtaining a letter of permission from your police chief or sheriff, and a full personal background check which is spread across the whole federal system. Until now. Forming an NFA trust eliminates the requirements of letters of permission and all personal data and background checks in purchasing and possessing NFA firearms and accessories. NFA trusts offer a level of anonymity as well as flexibility in the purchasing, possessing, and storage of your Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories. To learn more about forming a secure and flexible NFA trust at a fraction of the cost from attorneys, visit www.billcarnes.com and click on the NFA tab. That's BILLCARNS.com and click on the NFA tab.
As long as politicians attack our rights, Bill will be fighting for them. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Welcome back from the break, everyone. Again, Darren Gill, the former head agent in Mexico for the ATF, said his direct supervisor in Washington told him that this entire gun-running operation had been approved by officials of higher rank than ATF Acting Director Ken Melson. Gill said in an exclusive interview just this last Friday with CBS that he asked his supervisor if Melson was aware of the operation. And the response was, quote, yes, the director's aware of it. Not only is the director aware of it, DOJ is aware of it. Interesting. Well, CBS News reported that Gill told Atkinson that a senior Justice Department official by the name of Lanny Brewer visited Mexico last summer and told ATF staff about a big case against suspected gun smugglers that was having good results. Okay. So what we're looking at now is we're looking at not just an ATF operation centered right there in Phoenix, but all the way into Washington, D.C. Of course, CBS, they're saying that the Mexican Attorney General says that now a full force of law is to be used in ATF gunwalking scandal investigations. The Office of Mexico's Attorney General has issued strong new comments in response to ATF gunwalking allegations exposed in an ongoing CBS News investigation. As has been reported, agents from the ATF say over the course of a year and a half, superiors ordered them to allow thousands of weapons to cross into Mexico as part of a failed plan to gain intelligence and take down a major drug cartel. Over the weekend, the Mexican Attorney General stated, quote, the controlled trafficking of weapons is not authorized under the Mexican national legislation. An operation that would contemplate this, would not have been accepted to the Mexican government, and it would never be under any circumstances. The Mexican Attorney General also stated that it's conducting its own investigation to identify, quote, the crimes that could have been carried out on Mexican territory. Okay, maybe these ATF guys should take some of these guys in ATF and DOJ that schemed this entire illegal operation up. Mexico finds out about it. What do you think they would do? You think they would actually put in for extradition to extradite them so they could be tried and potentially serve time in Mexican prisons? How awesome would that be? Now, of course, the statements by the Mexican Attorney General were made one day after CBS News did an exclusive interview with former top ATF officials in Mexico, a guy by the name of Darren Gill. Gill stated that his own agency kept details of controversial operations known as Fast and Furious secret from him and his Mexican base staff. He also said that when he objected, his ATF supervisor in D.C. reportedly told him that the case had been approved not only by ATF Acting Director Melson, but also by the Department of Justice, which oversees ATF. Of course, we have Obama that says that Eric Holder, who heads Department of Justice as the Attorney General, didn't know anything about it. Well, Mexican authorities await the results. They say, quote, the Mexican government was not informed of any operation that included the controlled trafficking of weapons to Mexico, stated the Attorney General's office in its communique. Sanctions will have to be carried out with the full force of law to whomever could have been responsible for the commission of illicit goods. Now, that's provided that your government is straight up, Mr. Mexican Attorney General. If not, I mean, could all of this go away with a couple cases of tequila? As is, quite honestly, not to slam you, but it's just the norm in Mexico. Something tells me no. Something tells me that the Mexican Attorney General is ticked off and he wants to bury his teeth in the backside of someone who's providing U.S. guns into Mexico via a protection racket authorized by the U.S. federal government. Something tells me he's not going to get bought off. Allowing guns to reach criminal suspects and the street without stopping them is letting guns walk. Of course, law enforcement insiders say it's normally strictly forbidden because the guns could be used to injure or kill people. Gill told CBS News that unusual numbers of weapons from the Fast and Furious case were turning up at Mexican crime scenes after being used by drug cartel members. As the case and the flow of guns continued, he worried that the weapons would be used to kill innocent civilians, police officers, or military government officials. And of course, on December 14th, two AK-47 variants that ATF allegedly let walk a year before were found at the scene of the murdered Border Patrol agent Brian Terry. Officials are also investigating a possible connection to the murders of Customs agent Jaime Avila. Among the outstanding questions, who knew of and approved the Fast and Furious operation, and when? Was a gunwalking strategy deployed in other cases? What was the evidence that caused officials to release two illegal immigrants arrested at the gunning down of Agent Terry? Why has a third been held but not charged in the murder? If none of the men arrested the night of Agent Terry's murder were responsible, are there any leads as to whoever was responsible? What weapon was used to kill Agent Terry? Were all the weapons that ATF allegedly let walk into Mexico but have not been recovered? Where are they? Of the weapons that have been recovered, what crimes were they used in? Department of Justice and ATF officials have not agreed to any press who've repeatedly looked to have interviews and confirmations for interview requests. So far, they've also refused to provide answers and documents to Senator Grassley of the Senate Judiciary Committee, who's investigating, as well as Representative Daryl Issa, chairman of the House Oversight Committee, who has joined the investigation. And now, U.S. Representative King has introduced the BATFE Reform Act, House Resolution 1093, which makes significant improvements to federal firearms regulations. Congressman Steve King, representative out of Iowa, released the following statement after introducing H.R. 1093, the BATFE Reform Act of 2011. The legislation reforms badly broken regulations which currently allow ATF to place unnecessary burdens on firearms dealers, law-abiding gun owners, and federal agents. King introduced the legislation with Representative Jason Altmaier, Democrat out of Pennsylvania. So we would call this bipartisan legislation. Modernizing federal firearms regulations is necessary because the existing regulatory scheme undermines our Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms, says King. H.R. 1093 makes significant improvements to BATFE's enforcement regulations that will allow the agency to perform its mission in a manner that upholds the constitutional rights of Americans. Because right now they don't. The NRA has announced its support for the legislation. Imagine that. Here's what Chris Cox, executive director of NRA's ILA, says. H.R. 1093 is a comprehensive reform bill that makes permanent several important appropriations funding restrictions that prevent law-abiding gun owners from unknowingly winding up in a federal gun registration database. This bill is a major step towards modernizing and improving ATF's overall operations by compelling the Bureau to focus their resources on targeting those who willfully violate the law while protecting the rights of law-abiding gun owners and retailers. For example, while current law does not make the necessary distinction between serious criminal violations and minor clerical errors, this bill corrects that inequity by creating a fair system in which firearms dealers with minor paperwork errors are not threatened with the loss of their livelihoods. NRA would like to thank Representative King for his leadership on this pro-law enforcement bill. Today, for most violations, ATF only has one of two choices for reprimanding FFL holders. Issue a warning or revoke their license. That's it. This bill would fix it. Thanks for tuning in today, guys. We'll be back tomorrow.
I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
Thanks for tuning in. Bill will be back tomorrow. Now go side in and shoot straight. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes. Learn more about Bill at BillCarnes.com. Send your comments to Bill at 2aradio.com. I will not.